of you who don't know me, my name is Jonathan. I get a chance to hang out with Wake. Thank you, guys. I get a chance to hang out with Wake on a weekly basis, and a lot of you guys that are either in Wake or small group leaders, my job is truly just to hang with small groups and help disciple and shepherd you guys. And so I'm so excited to get to share this morning on identity theft. But before I do that, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to dive in, all right? So if you will bow your heads with me, Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity that you've given us to focus on our hearts this weekend, to think about how our relationship with you has started, if it has, and also to reflect on how it's going. And so, Lord, I pray that today, that this breakout would be an extension of that, that you would speak through me and use my words, but ultimately we know that they come from you, Lord. And so I pray that specifically as we look at your word, that it would influence and impact the lives of these students. Lord, I pray all these things in your name. Amen. All right, I'm going to start with a quick story. So about 6 or 7 months ago, I got a phone call from a guy, and his name was Caleb. And so Caleb gives me a call, and he says, "Hey, Jonathan, I'm with the Texas tax office." I'm like, "Great, don't know where the Texas tax office is, never heard of it in my life." But he says to me, "Hey, we've noticed some suspicious activity on your social security number with your credit cards, fill in the blank." When I was y'all's age, I didn't really know what that meant. But now I found that my social security number is something that's really important. And so he says, "Hey, you know, we found all this suspicious activity." I'm like, "All right, that's a bummer, but I guess you can't do much." And so we continue on in the combo, and he's like, "Hey, Jonathan, your identity has been linked to some drug deals that are going on in Mexico and a murder. And there's a 2009 Honda Accord that's connected to your name down in Mexico, and it's linked to all this stuff going on." And I'm just sitting there at the moment, and I'm like, "What in the world? Either this is the craziest thing in the world, I'm going to jail, or this guy's lying." And so we continue on in the conversation as I'm sitting there and I'm just like sweating at my desk trying to figure out if my man Caleb is being honest or if I'm going to jail and fill in the blank. And so as we continue to go through the conversation, I ask more and more questions. And at one point he goes, "Hey, I'm going to need the last 4 digits of your social security number." And for those of you, maybe you don't know a lot about your social security number, but again, don't ever give it out to anyone. And so in that moment, of course, I did what any of us shouldn't do. I gave him the last 4 digits of my social security number. And so Caleb gets my last 4 digits of my social, and we keep going, and then I'm like, "Man, this feels really fishy." And so eventually I'm like, "Caleb, I'm going to need to talk to your boss." He's like, "Yeah, you can't come to the phone." I'm like, "Caleb, you gotta like," he's like, "My badge number is 6359. I'm like, "That does me no good. I don't even know what that means." He's just trying to get my confidence back. And eventually I get to the point where I'm like, "All right, this is so fishy. I don't believe this is real," and I hang up. And I've yet to hear back from Caleb to this day, but I know that at this point, I hope my identity is safe out there. But I share that story this morning with you guys because in a moment where I was trying to protect my identity, I ended up giving it away. Right, that was my sole purpose in when I received that phone call, was I want to do everything in my power to protect my identity, my government-given identity. And today we're going to be talking about a little bit different identity, right? The identity that you are given in Christ, how you view yourself and how you view your own worth. And so, specifically, my desire is for that you would walk away today and understand that that there is confidence in walking with Jesus. That walking with him and not just going through the motions will lead to peace, joy, and life for your soul. And so that is my prayer today. And so when I talk about identity today, I'm not talking about your government-given identity. I'm actually going to be talking about identity as in a sense of self and a sense of worth. Who you believe you are and how much you think you are worth. I think those two questions are so important as we navigate how to be a believer and ultimately find out who we are through middle school and high school. And so from there, we're going to look at a text in Philippians 3. So if you have a Bible, go ahead and flip over to Philippians chapter 3. And for some more context, Paul is writing here. He's writing to a Roman city where believers of Jesus are suffering persecution and resistance for their faith, and he's in prison. And so Paul, I think here in chapter 3, it is the perfect place to look for identity. Excuse me, because Paul is going to speak on his previous life when he was a man named Saul, and now what his life looks like as he is Paul. And so if you don't know what that means, Saul was a Pharisee. And he was someone who tried to persecute and murder Christians. They loved the law so much that they added more laws onto the law so that they could follow God, the God of the Old Testament, as best as they knew how. But then when Jesus came on the scene, they didn't recognize him, realize it was Jesus, and so they wanted to persecute and kill and punish Christians because they did not believe they were truly following Jesus. And so, here in chapter 3, Paul's going to list off all the things that he was, that he used to be identified by, and then all the things that he's now found in Christ. And so I'm going to read the passage, but we're going to start in verse 3. We're just going to read 7 verses, and then we're going to go section by section and break that down. So, again, if you have your Bible, Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 3, it's also on the screen. It says this, "Put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If anyone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. I was circumcised on the 8th day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, I was a Pharisee. As for zeal, I persecuted the church. As for righteousness based on the law, I was faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness that is of my own, but that comes from faith. That comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith." So what I love about this passage specifically is I could stop right now. I could go, we could end this breakout, and I think it would be a win in the sense that you would walk away and that Paul would speak directly to what his life looked like before Christ and what it looks like now. He considers all the things that he had of this world as garbage considered when he compares that to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. But I want to break it down verse by verse, and I want to go and I want to show you how this can specifically apply to you guys in middle school today and how you can find a sense of yourself and a sense of your worth. And so, let's go back to the top, verse 3. We're just going to start in the first couple verses, but I'm reading one more time. "Put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. I was circumcised on the 8th day of the people of Israel, to the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Hebrew of Hebrews." And if you don't know what all those things mean, essentially Paul is coming out and he's swinging. Right? He is saying, in modern day terms, Paul's saying, "Hey, I was born to the rich family. We had season tickets to every Cowboy game. We went to Colorado and Seaside for our vacations. I only wear Nike and Lulu and Adidas. I'm tall because my dad is tall. I have great hair. I have the perfect eye color. My family is well-known, plugged in at church, well-liked, and people know me." Paul's saying, if you look at it from a worldly perspective, I've got it all going on. And he gives this list of the reasons why he hasn't made. But there's one thing in common with all of those advantages. And those first four specifically that Paul lists out are privileges that he had no control over. He had no control over. He didn't have control over the family he was born into. He didn't have control over the way that he looked. All the rituals that his family practiced, that he was a true Hebrew, that he didn't adopt these Greek customs. It's like, man, I had it all. But ultimately, those were things that were given to him. And so the first point that I want to make today for you guys as you think about your identity is this, that you are not your privileges. You are not your privileges. And these are things you didn't control or chose, but you're just given them. And for some of you in this room, maybe that's the lack of those privileges. Right? That goes both ways. If you're not your privileges, then you're also not your lack of privileges. And what I mean by that is maybe there are some of you in this room who don't have parents that have a ton of money. Parents who are still together. Or maybe you're not very athletic, well-liked. Maybe you don't think that you're good-looking or that you have, wish you had a different family or fill in the blank. But ultimately, those things, whether good or bad, they don't define who you are and they don't hold up when we place our identity in them. They don't give you a true sense of self and a true sense of worth. And I want to be clear that there's nothing wrong with having stuff. There's nothing wrong with going on vacations. I'm wearing Lulu pants today, and I don't think I'm a sinner for that. But ultimately, I'm telling you guys, when you put your identity and your worth in the clothes you wear, the way you look, the things you do, the family you're a part of, good or bad, it will not hold up, and it will leave you looking for more and more satisfaction elsewhere. And so I think the point that Paul is making here is that you are identified by who you are in Christ, not your privileges. You're identified by who you are in Christ, not your privileges. And if we keep going, we're going to look in specifically verse 5 and 6 here. But Paul continues the list. He says, in regard to the law, I was a Pharisee. As for zeal, I persecuted the church. As for righteousness based on the law, I was faultless. And here, Paul starts to list off his worldly accomplishments, right? He has status, power, and value in the world's eyes. He says, regarding the law, I was a Pharisee. I knew more Bible than anyone in this room. We love the law so much as Pharisees that we added more so that we could be even better followers of Christ. As for zeal, I persecuted the church. I had the power and authority to control and kill people. In Acts 9, right, Paul, the guy who wrote half your New Testament. In Acts 9, there's a story of him as Saul in his previous life before he came to know Christ. And in that story, he's asking for permission that if he runs into any Christians on his next trip, for permission to kill and persecute them and bring them to Jerusalem. He says, as for righteousness based on the law, I was faultless. I never broke a commandment, never told a lie, never said something that I wasn't supposed to. If my relationship with God was based on how well I followed this book, then I would have been the best. And as a side note, I think for some of us in this room, this isn't the point of the message today, but I think some of us can even put our identity in how well we follow the laws of God or how well we behave, whether we're a good kid, how much scripture we memorize. Fill in the blank, but ultimately that is not the gospel. It's not a performance-based acceptance in Christianity, and I think we hear that a lot. But here Paul specifically saying, I performed at the highest level in all those areas, and it still was worthless in the end. And so the second point I want you to walk away with today is that you are not your accomplishments. You are not your accomplishments. And what I mean by that is the sports, the grades, the performance, all the things that you can put your identity in that you do or accomplish in life. And specifically for me, that looked like baseball. So I actually have a picture of myself. There's little Jonathan playing for the Blue Jays when I was a kid. And so when I was a kid, I loved baseball so much, right? I watched all the baseball games. I followed the Rangers really closely. I played video games of baseball. I collected baseball cards, fill in the blank. And so that glove right there I had until I was maybe a freshman in high school, and I'd leave it at home. And every day I'd go home from school, I would throw a tennis ball against the wall, ultimately to the point where I wore a hole in the middle of that glove because I just pretended that I was this pitcher for our high school team or for college or in the big leagues. And I loved baseball. But guys, when I got to high school, tryouts came freshman year. And this is obviously the moment you've been dreaming of your whole life. I've been practicing. I've been throwing that tennis ball against the wall. And so I get to tryouts. And I show up and I go out the first day. And my pants, my mom, this just kind of shows you the confidence she had in me at the time. But she didn't buy me new baseball pants. She was going to wait to see if I made the team before she bought a new pair of baseball pants. So I came out with some pretty short baseball pants that didn't fit me. So I walk out of the clubhouse, and basically all the guys are like, hey, Lindert, like, hey, is the flood coming? And I'm like, what does that even mean? And so because my pants were so hiked up, they were basically giving me a hard time of saying I was preparing for a flood that was going to come, so I didn't get my pants wet. And so I'm there, and I'm just like, man, confidence is already low, but all right, we're going to go out, and I'm going to continue to give this my all. And so line up, we're getting ready, and coach is like, all right, guys. He's like, everyone line up. Linder, why don't you show everyone how to do this drill? And so he brings me off to the side, and he's about to hit me a pop fly, and then he's like, all right, hit this cutoff, man. You know, do all these things. And he hits me this ball, and all the kids are watching. And I remember I take about 3 steps towards it, and I just fall flat on my face. I just eat the dirt right then and there. And every single kid right there just starts laughing uncontrollably at me, and I look up only in time for that ball just to fall right in front of me. And of course the coach is like, all right, like, give me someone else, like, let's show, get someone else to show how to do this drill. And from that moment on, my confidence was shot, and I felt so insecure. I saw all the people that I thought were my best friends laughing at me. And fast forward in that story, I didn't make the baseball team, right? And I got cut. And I'll tell you guys, for a lot of y'all, that I bet my high school career on playing a sport. I bet my high school career on playing a sport. And when that busted, I didn't know who I was. Because I thought my whole life I was going to be, oh, that's Jonathan. He's the guy that plays baseball. I thought, oh, man, he's the one on the baseball team. I thought that's what my identity would be rooted in. And so ultimately, the thing I had bet my high school career on busted, and I didn't know who I was. And I think for a lot of us, our accomplishments and the things that we do can so easily become who we are. And when we find life in them, our life will be marked by how well we perform in those areas. And specifically, I think the point that I want you guys to understand is that if you find purpose in something other than Christ, that your joy will be determined by how much you have of it or how well you perform in it. If you find purpose in something other than Christ, whether it is sports, whether it is your looks, whether it is your social media, your joy will be determined by how much you have of it or how well you perform at it. And I think this is so important that you understand this today, because it is so exhausting. It will leave you chasing something that you just can't grasp the rest of your life. And I think the reason that we do this is because our accomplishments and the labels, they give us a sense of security, right? A lot of us, we kind of play this math game in our head, and tell me if this sounds familiar, but I think for a lot of us, we have this formula that says, hey, if I'm not very good at volleyball, I'm not as tall as I want to be, but I can get guys' attention really easily. Or we say, hey, I'm not very popular, I'm not very athletic, but I make great grades and I'm really, really smart. I'm pretty shy, I don't make friends easily, but I can get people to notice me because I'm the funny guy. And we do this math equation to almost add up, where can I find my value? And once we find the value, whatever that last thing is, that it's like, I don't do great in these areas, but this is the one that I put my worth in and I want to be known by. And we start to make those things who and what we want to be identified by. And for some of us, again, I think that we can say, hey, I'm athletic. And so, know me as the person who plays all the sports. I'm really attractive. I can get people's attention. I can talk to a lot of guys. I can get people to text and call me. And it gives me value, and it feeds this insecurity for me. I'm really smart. I make great grades. I'm on the honor roll. My parents always are talking about the grades that I'm making. Again, we say maybe, hey, I'm the funny guy. I can get people to notice me when I cut others down, or when I make jokes in school, when I interrupt the teacher, other people will feed on what I'm saying and what I'm doing. Social media. Hey, if you follow me, if you see me on there, my life's going to look way better on social media than it does in real life. So I hope that everyone only sees the perfect things that I put online on social media. Lastly, maybe for some of you guys, that's relationships. I mean, if I wasn't dating that guy or girl, then people wouldn't even know who I am. They wouldn't even recognize me. They wouldn't think I'm significant, because if I'm not dating this person, then who am I? Right? And we continually throw these labels on ourselves that we want to be identified. And the point I want you guys to understand is that I think we search for labels to hide behind because we think that they will cover our flaws. We search for these labels to hide behind because we think they will cover our flaws. And ultimately, guys, what they end up doing is stealing your identity. I've heard it said that sin keeps you longer than you want to stay, and it costs you more than you want to pay. And those labels will not satisfy you, because they offer a temporary solution to an eternal problem. The labels we put our identity in offer a temporary solution to an eternal problem, and they don't fix the problem that we have a God-shaped hole inside of our heart, and nothing can fix it except for the satisfaction found in knowing Christ. And here's what Paul goes on to say about his labels and accomplishments. And this is what it looked like for him to find the solution to his eternal problem. He says this in verse 7, "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things." Paul says this, "I let go of it all. Every label I worked so hard to collect, everything I wanted people to know me by, I wanted you to look at me and think, I'm the most spiritual, righteous person. I'm the Pharisee. I'm the person who's popular on social media. I get people's attention. I talk to all the girls. Fill in the blank. I considered it all a loss because I found more joy and I found out how much I'm truly worth in following Christ. I found something that truly satisfies my soul." In verse 8, he says, "I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I consider them all garbage
because I found a righteousness in Christ. I have identity in Christ. I found a sense of who I am and how much I'm worth because of Christ. And Paul knew that in order to gain more of Christ, he had to lose more of himself. And he knew that we couldn't earn our salvation. And that's ultimately the gospel, guys. As Austin shared last night, and Jermaine is going to continue, and the whole point of this weekend is that you would come to know and see that finding your value and who you are in a relationship with Christ is something you didn't earn, you didn't deserve, but you were freely given. And so we said it last night on the stage, and we're saying it again today from the breakouts, and we're saying it in your small groups, and we're going to say it on Sunday at Wake, and we're going to say it at Wednesday at Shoreline, because it's so important. If you don't know where your identity is, if you don't know if you are truly in Christ, that's the most important decision you could make in your entire life. And it's where you're going to find your confidence, who you are, and how much you're worth. It's going to be the place where you find, where you spend your eternity, where you find John 10:10, life to the full. And I didn't have that in high school. When we start to have that relationship with God and we truly put our faith in Him, we start to get labels that Christ gives us. Ephesians says that I'm chosen. That God chose me, that He wants to have a relationship with every single one of you in this room. It says in Ephesians that we're adopted, that we're given a family, that I'm given a father, someone who loves for me, cares for me, regardless of my mistakes. I'm given grace. I'm given forgiveness and love, even when I mess up, even when I say, God, this is the last time, and then I fall back into it again. I'm given grace. 1 John says, I'm loved. 1 John 3:16 says, for this we know love, that Christ laid down His life for us. That's how we know love, guys. He died on the cross for us. But then the second part of that verse says, so that we may lay down our life for others. So I want to make it clear that you are identified by Christ's accomplishments and what He has given you, not your accomplishments or what you have earned. These are the things we have the opportunity to wear and to have confidence in. And guys, when I was cut from the baseball team, I spiraled. Right? To come back to that story, I couldn't give it up, ultimately. I became the manager of the baseball team. I went into the coach's office and I was like, is there any way that I don't have to be the guy that goes over to the PE class and then has to make a whole new set of friends? I still want to hold on to that piece of me that wants to say, hey, Jonathan, that's the guy that has baseball attached to his name. And so I became the manager for 4 years. And what that created for me was just this idea and feeling that if only I was playing, if only I had a sport to attach to my name, then I truly find joy. But I just felt right like I was on the outside of the bubble. But guys, here's the reality. Even if I would have had that sport, there would have been something else. I still would have felt like I was just right on the outside of that bubble. Well, if only I was playing more. Well, if only I would play well enough to get into college. Well, if only I would play well enough so that I could get girls to attention and that they would talk to me and that I could get a girlfriend. We always feel like we're on the outside of the bubble because it's something that you can't truly reach. It's only found in Christ. And I needed my identity to be in a label in middle school and high school, and it cost me so much. But what I ultimately found in college when I found godly community, when I put my true faith in the way that I actually lived out my life, I wanted it to truly match up with God's Word, and I wanted to say, hey, I want to study God's Word, I want to hide it in my heart, and I want my life to reflect it. I found confidence, freedom, lasting joy, healthy relationships, giftings, things that God's given me to make His gospel be known. I found community. I found true friendship and lasting joy. And it's not in anything of this world. It is in Christ alone. And so I'll tell you guys, the reality is that only one label matters. When you walk away from this breakout and for D-Town, is that if you are in Christ. It's the only label that matters. Are you in Christ? And I don't just mean that in a sense of, hey, am I just going through the motions and I say that, but my life doesn't actually reflect it? Am I truly in Christ? Have I answered the question that when I die, I'm going to spend eternity in heaven with God because of His love for me and the fact that He died on the cross and paid for my sins. So my prayer and hope is if you don't know the answer to that question, or you walk out of this breakout and you feel like there's just some lingering questions, lingering thoughts, that you would have a conversation with your leader before you leave D-Town this weekend. Because again, guys, I'm here telling you firsthand from my own experience. In middle school and high school, I put my faith in all the labels that I could grab and hold on to. But it cost me a lot, and I'll tell you now, 4 years later, that I consider them all garbage. All the things that I had in high school, I consider them garbage and worthless, and that's exactly what Paul is saying. And so my prayer is that you would come to understand that today to save you and give you more joy and less scars as you walk through middle school and high school. Let me pray. Lord, thank you so much that you sent your Son to die on a cross for us, that ultimately you loved us despite our fears, our insecurities, our mess-ups, all the things that we continually run to, all the little g-gods that we want to put our identity in. You loved us despite those things. And you've even given us eyes to see and ears to hear. And even that students are here in this breakout today means that you are pursuing them, that you want to have a relationship with them. And so I pray that as we leave this time and continue on in our weekend, that we would truly reflect and ask that question, am I in Christ? Lord, continue to pursue their hearts. You love us. You care for us. And we want to look more like you. And all these things in your name. Amen.